Welcome to Standard of Care, the show where we pull up the black turtlenecks and show you the real life working in a design firm.
We hope to explore the daily life of design professionals such as architects, interior designers, engineers, graphic designers, web designers, and so on.
We want to investigate the value they bring to the creative projects in the world.
Behind every creative output is a story that we would like to explore and discover how it came to be. I'm Sinan.
And I'm Jefferson.
And this is Standard of Care.
On this episode, we're going to be talking about the next steps in building your business or side hustle. So this episode, we're going to be delving into landing your first client, kind of what expected win rates you should target. We won't talk about pricing because there's been some historic lawsuits on price fixing related to architectural work, so we cannot talk about that. But we can talk about kind of your target win rates and general idea of setting a fee based on your costs, but we'll get into it right after this break. So starting out, I know that I started this way is I started with friends and family. Everyone seems to need something designed in their life. Somebody needs a garage. I'll tell you that garages are great starter projects because you're not trying to add on to an existing building. A lot of times the garages don't have insulation. They don't have plumbing. They will have minimal electrical no heating really to speak of. So those are great little starter projects to kind of get you introduced to running a project on your own. The budgets are relatively manageable. The timelines are manageable, things like that. So that's where I'd recommend you kind of start out. Don't jump in right away to a large project, a brand new retail center. I mean, congratulations, you won a brand new retail center, but I would be freaking out if that was my first project on my own. Understanding here that perhaps you're not the most experienced person just yet. You know, you've perhaps just received your license or are working on it. You know, those are the kinds of things that maybe feed into guiding your first project here. And, I just think that some thought should go into your first project of also what types of things you want to do, because these first ones are going to kind of set the tone for your firm. As far as marketing materials, I think starting out, getting your feet under you with these garage projects is a kind of a good way to go, but also have a long-term strategy here of, you know, you don't want to become known as the cheap garage guy either. So have a kind of a long-term goal of where you want your projects to be, what sort of projects do you want to do, and then you can begin targeting those as well. We'll talk about that in just a second. Really working on your first project and setting that first fee is going to be very difficult for you. A lot of firms, this is kind of their secret sauce, is they would not reveal this to you. This is what makes them a successful business and perhaps other people not, is how they set their fees and how they do that. So I want to kind of delve into my thought process on it a little bit. Obviously, this may affect your decision making, but these are some of the factors that I think about. I kind of in my head talk about the amount of time I think it's going to take to do it in number of hours or numbers of sheets. And then I kind of have a set hourly rate for my hours that I'm going to be spending on these side projects. And then I look at it like as a back check for what are my expenses for the month that it's going to take me, the 2 weeks that it's going to take me. So there's some kind of math there. I always just figure 4 weeks in a month. So if it's going to take me 1 week, then I have 1/4 of my monthly costs need to be covered by this project, because I'm not going to be doing more projects than I can handle. So if, let's say, for instance, I'm going to be doing 4 projects, each of them takes a week, and I'm going to get all of them done in 1 month, then my monthly expenses are then divided 1/4 into each of those projects, right? So that's just a way to kind of make sure that you're at least covering your costs and paying yourself some money for the time that you're going to be spending. That's that's obviously the name of the game here, is to try and make money. It doesn't always happen right out of the gate. The first few months, you may get one project every couple of months, so it's hard to put all of those costs into those projects, which is why in the last episode, I recommended that you keep your costs really low so that you don't feel like, ooh, I need to charge this client a lot of money because I haven't got a project the last 4 months. Well, it's not your client's problem that you haven't got a project the last 4 months, so why should they pay for 4 months of expenses? Think about it as, how much time is it going to take you to do that project? And that's how much expenses are in it, not necessarily how much have you lost in months with no projects. So there's an important distinction there as well. The other thing is to think about is, are you going to have people help you on these projects? What are their expenses going to be? Not only engineers is what kind of the first thing that comes to mind here, but also drafting help. Are you going to have someone that you know, or someone that you met that knows how to work AutoCAD or Revit or something like that, help you with the drawings? Or are you going to just do them all on your own? The way that I started it, I did everything myself, again, to keep those expenses low and to keep my fees low and aggressive. So my strategy overall was to try and just get a lot of projects in the beginning by being fairly cheap and efficient. And that built up my portfolio. And then slowly over time, I could begin to raise my prices and be more selective with my projects. Once I kind of had done a few projects, figured out what I liked and what I didn't like, and you know, kind of went from there. Let's next talk about selecting your first clients. Not only are you selecting what projects you want to work on and curating what sort of firm you want to become, but you're also selecting who you want to work with. For instance, I said initially, you're probably going to be working for friends and family. Well, that's fine, but at some point you're going to exhaust all of the projects that your friends and family want, and you're going to need to step out and start marketing for other projects and other clients that perhaps you don't know. That's where a very special set of skills comes into play, as far as being able to read people fairly quickly while you're hearing about their project and perhaps meeting them in person on site to walk through what they're looking for. You also want to kind of read, are they going to be a relatively easy person to work with? Do they have a very specific project that they want, and they have a very specific program of what they want? Or are they just kind of looking to you as the expert to give them suggestions and what they should do? You know, again, there's no right answer here necessarily, but it's figuring out who you work with the best and then curating those clients as you meet them as to who you think you can work with and what projects you think you can work on. Again, you'll figure out I think you'll figure it out that some people are perhaps not a good fit for you. And let me just tell you from experience that it's better for you to turn away a client and a project that is going to be more difficult and more of a headache for you than it is to try and push through it for the money. Now, keep in mind here, especially if you're on a side hustle, that you don't need to take every project, especially if you have a day job. That's why it's, I think, a good way to start your side firm is to have it on the side and have a day job too, so that you don't feel like you have to take a project with a difficult client simply to pay your bills to make the money. I think it gives you a certain flexibility to really select your clients and your projects and curate your portfolio that way. Think of it back when you were in school. You know, you would select your projects for your portfolio based on kind of what jobs you were going after or what jobs you were interviewing for. You wouldn't put together a portfolio full of residential projects if you were going after a large commercial firm. It just wouldn't make sense. So again, just think through and try and read people. It's going to take you a few times and a couple of difficult clients for you to figure out who you want to work with. Just be cautious with who you select, and limit yourself appropriately with a well-worded contract. All right, let's get into the real meat of this podcast. The episode is setting your first fees. So basically, what I think about, again, I think we've talked about this a little bit in a previous section here, but thinking about the number of hours that you're going to do you're going to need to spend on the project. But even beyond that, in your costs, is what is your time worth to you? Because ultimately, what you're doing here is you're giving up your free time, your family time, your time outdoors, your time with family and friends, your whatever, however else you spend your time on hobbies or otherwise, this is going to take that up. And so what is your time worth? And if that number is unsustainable to be able to charge clients, then perhaps the side hustle thing isn't for you. So think about those things as well. In that you're going to be giving up quite a bit of time with other parts of your life to get this started. However, starting out a little bit less, a little bit less on the hourly rate is a good way to be aggressive in getting those projects. But over time, that's going to go up. And at some point, hopefully, you're going to reach that point where you'll need to decide to make the transition to your side business as the full-time job, leaving your day job, or shutting down the side hustle and committing back again to your day job, you know, and outlining that now at the beginning of what those milestones are, I think is a good way to know when you're ready to make that point. And then not just setting it and forgetting it, but coming back to it to explore, well, what is my financial and time situation like now? And do those goals that I initially developed still relate? So for instance, if I set from the very beginning that, okay, I'm going to consider making my side hustle my full-time job when it nets, not gross, but net income, the net income equals my salary from my day job, maybe that's a good milestone and a goal for you to work towards. Again, not only setting that monetary amount, but setting a time deadline as well, let's say, and be realistic about it and obviously reassess all the time. But if I say I want to meet that goal in 3 years, then as you're going through every year or so, reassess and say, okay, where am I at now? How much money am I making now, net after expenses and paying drafting help and engineers and everything else? Is this enough to be sustainable for me? Additionally, go through a tax season at least, so that you know how much taxes you're going to owe on all of this stuff. My kind of rule of thumb for where I'm at now is taking about 40 to 50% of everything that I make and setting that aside for tax reasons. And then when my tax season comes around and I have to write that check to the IRS, it doesn't hurt quite so bad because I'd set that money aside. And then any money that's left over is kind of like my annual bonus to myself, is how that works. Obviously, this is only for a sole proprietorship. If you have employees, that's not really how that works. The government makes you pay employee payroll tax every quarter, depending on how many employees you have. They make you pay unemployment insurance and all these other things. So, yeah, let's get into that too in just a moment. So now that you're setting up your business, it's important to have all of the legally required insurances and all of those things. We've kind of talked about that in a previous episode, but I just want to bring that point up again here that if you're striking out on your own, there are certain levels of insurance that you need to have. General liability is required in my state, but check your local requirements. You may be required to have the errors and omissions insurance or professional liability, as it's sometimes known. Just make sure that you're in compliance there for whatever projects you're going to be taking on, as well as your licensing requirements. In some states, you're allowed to do single family residential without an architectural license. In other states, you're not. So just make sure that you're totally in compliance with everything here as you're getting ready to start these first projects. So once again, just kind of go back and check that everything is in order and have your appropriate professionals in line to help you with those things, such as your lawyer to draft contracts and things like that, as well as advise you on things, your income tax person, your bookkeeper, things along those lines, as well as your consulting engineers that you're planning to use. Start to establish those relationships, because inevitably you'll probably need those at some point. So getting those things set up as well is kind of a good way to go. The thing that I do with my consulting engineers, I will typically set up a master service agreement with them so that all of the basic terms of our agreement are always set up and ready to go. And then each project, I simply put together a service agreement that completes out the master service agreement to get each project going, instead of having to execute an entire contract each time for each project. This just helps me be a little bit more efficient. Those are things you can think about a little further down the line. Just getting the initial engineers going for these first ones is probably the best way to go. If you feel comfortable doing so, you can do your own calcs in some states, your own structural calcs. But if you're not comfortable with that, it's smart to use a structural engineer for those kinds of things and find one that you can work with, maybe one that you've worked with in the past, and one that you can get along with. Again, similar to selecting your clients here, you want to select your team in the same manner with the same thought, such as, so who can I work with well, who's easy to talk to, who's easy to give and get direction from. Again, you don't want to be a tyrant here with your engineers. You need to be reasonable with them because you're trying to build these relationships, these lasting relationships that will carry you through your through all of your projects for your side business. And hopefully one day will grow into your full-time job. And you want to continue to build these relationships so that you can count on them for all of your projects. I think it's a worthwhile investment because you'll be spending a lot of time, perhaps more time with your engineers than you will with your clients, because you'll be using your engineers on multiple projects, whereas each client is generally solely for their own project. Until you start working with larger clients that are going to have repeat projects and things like that, then there's more factors that will come into play. Finally, if you're on selecting your team, I think, if you work at big firms, you're going to work with other consulting engineers that are big firms. And with big firms come big fees. So be cautious that by including a large, well-known name of a firm, of a structural engineer or MEP engineer, whoever it is, that it doesn't sink your project because their fees are too high. In order to kind of meet new engineers, I would suggest you find your local AEC, networking group and go and kind of get some business cards from some of them. Really have conversations with them to feel out what kind of a firm they are, what kind of a person you're going to be dealing with for your team, and see if they will make a good fit for you. you know, I think that, again, selecting your team is going to be a very vital part of setting up your business, because those relationships will be very long term, hopefully. And again, if the engineer that you've selected isn't a good fit, then consider not using them on a future project and switching over. I know that they would probably want to be notified of that, but you know, it's entirely up to you how you're going to run your business and what sort of ways you want to do these things. I think that being courteous and nice and transparent is the way that I try to run my firm, and that has paid off for me so far. So you've got your first project. Congratulations. You've got your team selected. You've got your infrastructure in place. You've set up your LLC. At this point, you're ready. You're ready to kick that door open and start working on your first project. So I know there was a lot of setup that went into this and really getting to this point, but believe me, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth having those things prepared before you get your first project, so that you don't have to scramble and lose time on your first project here. So when you're setting up your timeline for your first project, give yourself extra time, especially on these first ones. Try to set expectations of your client further out than what you think they will be, so that you give yourself some breathing room. Keep in mind that you're going to be giving up some of your free time to be doing this, and some of the things that you do in your free time are still going to need to get done. So it's not like you have 100% of your free time to do this, right? You're still going to have laundry. You're still going to have grocery shopping. You're still going to have to pay your bills. You're still going to have to do those things that take up some of your free time. So understanding how much time you can dedicate to a project each week is obviously something that should come into mind here. And then sitting down and dedicating some time to it to get it done. Once it's done, I strongly recommend an outside QAQC from perhaps another sole proprietor or someone on these first few sets is really a good idea. Getting your contract in order is obviously a very good idea. Outlining exactly what deliverables you're going to be giving them and on what timeline, as well as what your fee is, what you're going to be billing them for each of the design phases, if you're going to even do that. If you're going to be including CA or not, some of those things, and then sitting down and really getting into starting your first project. This is a big moment for you. I think that you've worked so hard to get to this point, and you just really don't want to mess up these first ones. So really manage expectations with your client. Really over explain things, like in as far as managing their expectations. Make sure that they're comfortable with you and that they understand that you know, that you're going to be working with them, that it's going to take such and such amount of time, whatever it is, and that you're ready to start. So then you begin putting your pen to paper, or cursor to Revit, as it would be, and start working through your initial design options. You know, think back to school of how you would kind of charrette these things and do it, but now it's up to you. You're on your own, and it's time to deliver. And if you cannot, you really need to be open and honest about that with your client, because these first ones really set your reputation and your word of mouth moving forward. So you really need to do a really good job on these first ones, perhaps even if you can afford to, going above and beyond on these first few projects, and really making sure that it's the best, cleanest set that you can do. Understand your submittal requirements for whatever jurisdiction the project is going into. Make sure that you're delivering everything that's required to them. Establishing any information that the client needs to give to you very early on, so that they know what's needed and it doesn't blindside them later with additional costs, such as surveys, soils reports, anything that falls into the owner or client's responsibilities. Make sure that you get them notified very early on in the project that they're going to be needing to give you those things. That way you come across as much more professional. I think the name of the game here is really begin building your portfolio. I've said this numerous times now, and setting yourself up for success. So I wish you all the best, and congratulations on starting your first project and getting your first side hustle off the ground. All right, thanks so much for tuning in. That's all I've got for you today. If you'd like to get in touch, if you've got questions, feel free to drop us a voicemail. Yeah, I know that's kind of old-fashioned, but that's how these things work. You can find us at anchor.fm/standardofcare. Thanks again for listening, and this is Sinan signing off.